Excuse me, I'd like to inform participants today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Gisela, could you help me, please, doing a roll call so we know who's in the call?
I'll do that for you, Olga. It's Glenn. On the call, we have yourself, Olga Cavelli, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, Chuck Gomes, and from staff, we have Denise Michel, Liz Gaster, Rob Hogarth, Ken Bauer, and Glenda Saint-Jerry.
Sorry, Glenn, I didn't recognize your voice. Must be a different landline.
Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Okay. First, I would like to know if you want me to chair this call, if you're okay with this, because I volunteered in the face-to-face wrap-up meeting we had in Seoul, but we were few at the time, and I'm not sure if you want me to lead this. And also, my apologies, because I have been traveling and with a lot of access problems to the Internet, and that complicated things to organize this call last week. So I just would like to ask you, how do you want to proceed?
Works for me. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
good for me.
Okay. Great. I have been just rereading all the comments that we had in our list. Chuck, thank you for your comments. I think they are very, very good. And somehow adds to mine. And I don't know, Wolfie, you had a chance to review them.
Yes, thank you, Olga. So I have received all the comments about that. So well, if you're asking for my opinion, well, I could really agree to all of this. One item I would like to discuss or to bring into discussion is we should be aware about, you know, what is a project. That means for me, so we are talking about projects, we are talking about action items and these things I saw. So I think when we are going out to put priorities in, we should be aware what is a project, what do we talk about, sizes of projects which are valuable to be put on that list, and these things should be discussed from my point of view.
This is a very interesting comment. Let me give you my idea of what we have to prioritize. Aren't we in the need of putting priorities to all the things that we have to do in the GNSO, all the action items? By the way, there's a new updated list on by Glenn very recently. Isn't that the idea that we have? Maybe I'm mistaken, and we are just putting some prioritization in some of the in a subgroup of these action items. Maybe Chuck, you can help me understand that.
Well, yeah, I think
it's just the issue of categories. I mean,
yeah, you're correct, Olga. Now we could decide though that some of them are pretty obvious, so we pull them out of the queue. With the agreement that those are going to go ahead regardless of how we prioritize things, and then it makes it the exercise a little bit simpler, which is an idea that I've been advocating. But you're right. Yeah, and I think Wolf's question is a very good one. We probably should, if we're going to use the term project, we should define what we mean by that, and I don't think that's very hard. Basically, you said it, Olga. I think any project is something that's going to take resources in the GNSO, including volunteers and or staff, usually it's going to be both, and therefore we need to make decisions as to where we can put resources.
It was speaking. So why I'm asking that, you know, coming so from a company, they are also doing some priorities on their projects, and then every time we're talking about, when we talk about projects, and it's something which is related to budget and also other resources and these things, and so we set a minimum limit, let me say, for those kind of projects which we put on the list. So we don't do, let me say, put action items or such things on a list because that is daily work, and it may depend. So that my understanding of action items may be different of that what is going on the council. So if you're talking about all these things which consume budget of a minimum budget and a minimum kind of resource which is to be defined, kind of minimum, then I'm with you.
You know, your point's very good, Wolf, and I think it will be helpful if we're precise in that. I think we've been using the term action items and the action items list there for a long time, we don't mean by that, Glenn had some action items out of the council meeting today, and we certainly don't mean things like that. So your point's well taken. I think the term project is okay, or tasks, and I think it's tasks. Another point that I think comes out of what you're suggesting is that we're really talking about tasks that are going to consume time and resources over some length of time. We're not talking about something that can be done in a day or even a week, probably, but rather tasks that are typically going to be involve a working team or a working group or a committee, and that will involve volunteers and staff, and will take some whatever we define as a minimum period of time. Is that correct? Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah. It's Liz. I'd like to add one thing, which is, two things. One is you could have a situation like the Who Is Studies, where right now and for the last many months and for several months more, we're just talking about staff resources and potentially consultant resources and not council resources. So I see where there could be an added complexity there. Maybe Who Is just gets removed from the calculus, too, for other reasons, but I just want to raise that because it's a bit of an anomaly where we're talking about staff and consultant resources, not so much council resources for some time, period of time. And then the second thing I'll just add is that you could conceivably have a situation where the council or a working group wants to incur incremental resource. We haven't had this occur, but I foresee it with the new PDP in a sense. Like if we wanted to retain a expert for some purpose or incur some incremental significant cost where we'd want to have some assessment of the utility or value of that and a decision to do that. I don't want to add unnecessary complexity at this point because I think we're just, we want to get into sort of baby steps here, but I just would add that as, now that I think about Wolf Ulrich's excellent question, some of the layers of complexity there.
Well, you raised something that is important for us to consider, too. Even though the Who Is studies are right now only involving staff resources, staff resources have a limit as well. And
bless
so
you.
We may have a situation where we need to prioritize the use of staff resources, maybe separately, than when it's combined resources. I don't know. I throw that out. All this is producing some really good points that we should deal with.
One question to Wolf. Wolf, you mean that we may have action items or tasks and projects as different categories? Is that what you tried to say before, or maybe I misunderstood you?
Olga, I couldn't hear you because it's very, very...
No, what I said is that you're suggesting that perhaps projects are different than tasks or action items. That could be a first two type of categories that we could define?
No, I think so. I fully agree. So, if we are referring to items with projects, which means consumption of budget and other resources, personal staff resources, and these things. Yeah. So, which has to be our license then. But okay, that's what I mean. So, that's fully okay. And I don't think that we have, I only would like to avoid that we are dealing with smaller items here and try well to figure out, you know, in which kind of part of the quadrant smaller things should be placed in these things. So,
okay, thank you.
And Olga, to help on that, I think it probably does make a little bit of sense to use a term like project or task rather than action item, because action items oftentimes are just, hey, you need to get this done, you know, tomorrow or something, and they can be larger, but it probably avoids any implication that we're talking about short-term tasks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that as just a separate task or action item to change the title of the action item list, which I think started, you know, as an action item list but has morphed into more of a project list. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So it's project.
It's project.
Project, great. So no more action items. This brings me to some discussions we had in our list about categories, and Liz made a very interesting point, like, for example, the studies of who is, which I think is a very important issue, but it's like going with no much involvement of the council in this moment, but it's moving forward, and it's totally different like other issues that are being reviewed at some working teams right now with a deadline and a lot of involvement from the GNSO. Would this be our first category, perhaps?
Our first category?
Yeah.
You mean staff only projects?
No, I would say things that are, and I think you already suggested this, Chuck, things that are moving by themselves because they are already established.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like, for example, the QA studies or the reports from the liaisons, the CNSO liaison, or these things going on with a certain amount of time from the council or from the staff or both, but don't really need a specific amount of they don't have a due date, really. I think due date is the thing that makes things different in the project or task. If they don't have a certain due date, then the effort and the I don't know the value, but the effort put in achieving something is totally different. Things that are going on without a specific due date, then perhaps could be one category, and the other one the ones that have to be finished by a certain date. Any comments?
You know, it's Liz. Go ahead. I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead, Liz.
I was just going to say, I think WHOIS is really an anomaly. It's not typical of what the council's been doing, at least in the 2 years that I've been with ICANN. It's a very important, significant amount of work. It also has deadlines. they're just not as emphasized, maybe, but I definitely am operating under, you know, at least self-imposed deadlines, if nothing else. So I think it might be better for this call not to dwell on who is. I can't think of another project that exactly falls into that category where it's just really in staff's lap. You know, maybe an issues report for a specific duration would be another example of something where staff holds the token for a set period of time, and then just in the case of who is, it's a much longer period of time. And for that reason, maybe it gets pulled out of the mix for right now. That would be my suggestion.
Now, I don't think, Olga, that having a due date is necessarily a determining factor. And the reason I say that, look at the new GTLD PDP. Obviously, that's done now. But we, you know, of course, we have the due date in the bylaws, which was ridiculous. You know, it took us over a year and a half. And of course, the bylaws PDP didn't allow for that. But it's something that required, you know, over a year and a half to get done, but the fact that it didn't have a specific due date didn't make it less of a priority or something that we shouldn't prioritize. You follow me?
Totally, yes. Totally, yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Chuck, would you be so kind to remind us, especially for Wolf, the first categories that we discussed among us in previous to the list, having the email list, you have three, I think you set up three different categories.
Yeah, let me see if I can get those in front of me so that I can speak from on the prioritization issues. Bear with me a second while I find that email. Well, let me just try and talk to it off my head here. First of all, I think it the category I came up with is those things that we know we're going to continue and proceed with regardless of where they fit in the priorities. And that probably means they're a high priority. But regardless, I don't think we need to go through the prioritization exercise. And I think one of the prime examples of that right now is the STI group. We know that's, you know, and this is where a clear deadline from the board fits into Olga's comment a little bit ago. You know, we've got a short deadline on that. It's a gating factor in introducing new GTLDs, which is a big priority, we know. So that kind of thing, assuming that the council agrees what things fit in the category, we can pull out of the prioritization exercise because we're kind of agreeing, yeah, we're going to do these things regardless of how the priorities come out. So let's pull them out of the exercise to make the exercise a little bit simpler. So that was my first category. My second category, and somebody may be able to help me out here. What was my? I'm thinking of my third and not my second. My third category was
the important one. I remember it was the things that we have to categorize.
Yeah, the third one is the ones we really need to prioritize. I know what the second one was. The second one was things that have really good momentum right now. We have volunteers for them. They've been ongoing for a while. So it'd be kind of silly, unless we just were forced into it, to stop that momentum and change them. So, for example, the GNSO improvements working teams. Those are, in my view, are proceeding really well. We have good momentum. They're heading to closure. So to... In my personal opinion, and again, this needs to be made by the whole council, this decision, I would say, I think we want to just keep those going like they are, and so assigning priorities to them doesn't add any value if we make that decision. And then the third category is everything else where we do want to do the prioritization exercise. Did that make sense?
Totally, yeah. And now I understand you better because in the emails it was not so clear.
Yeah, that's the way emails are.
Talking, at least for me, sometimes works worse.
We all do.
Wolf, any comments to these three different categories that Chuck has expressed?
But Chuck, did you put these categories to as a comment to Liz's email or
no? It was earlier, and I'm trying to find it right now. Haven't found it yet. It was in the early discussions about a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, when those of us that initially volunteered for this exercise were talking about. I don't know if those comments got transferred over to our list. Did they?
Well, Chuck, what I'm asking you, I have received from you also a matrix, you know, with GNSO work priorities.
So it was. I think it was around that same time that I sent those. And my matrix is, in fact, I think the matrix that Olga and Jamie were working on, and the one that Stefan proposed, and the one that Ken and Liz have proposed, they're all very similar.
Yes, yes.
in terms of approach, which was kind of neat to see. You know, we were all kind of going down the same path. But the categories was a separate comment, and basically what I was trying to do, if we can sort out the projects in front of us and narrow it down to a smaller group, it's still probably quite a few, that need to go through the exercise, I think that makes the exercise more doable. I'll try and find that and send it again, Wolf, while we're talking here.
Chuck, one question. In between Category 1 and 2, the projects that have its own momentum, like GNSO improvement, and the ones that are going to happen anyway, like the FCI, is that somehow the same?
They could be lumped into one category, which is, I think, what you're suggesting. Yeah, that would be fine.
So, yeah, because I don't see the difference. They both have momentum. They both have its inertia to be finished by its own agenda.
And we're going to handle them the same. We're not going to put them into the mix.
Exactly. So we could say it's two categories, the ones that we need to prioritize, the projects that we need to prioritize, and the ones that have their own momentum and are proceeding well. Because I don't see a lot of difference in between one and two. Really.
Yeah, it's a good point. Very good point. Thanks.
So we have now not two, three, but two categories.
Okay.
It's Liz. I have a thought.
Yeah.
It strikes me that, if it's okay, that having momentum is qualitatively different from heading towards closure. And because I actually see quite a few groups that you could probably say have momentum. You know, the transfers group, there's a lot of resource and a lot of activity in the post-expiration domain, a lot of participation, a lot of debate, registration abuse, same thing. But I would not put those anywhere close to heading towards closure, I don't think.
Well, aren't we talking about some guidelines with regard to these categories that aren't... Each guideline in and of itself isn't a determining factor. In one case, we may put something in Category 1 because it has such great momentum and the volunteers and everything else. In another case, we may do it because the board's given us a directive to do it.
What you're saying is, though, that it would be part of the process for the council to decide sort of as a preliminary matter which things get put into.
Yeah.
Like step one is decide which things belong in Category 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And there could be different factors that we use on one project than we use on another to put there.
So when we're providing guidelines,
yes,
we should try to capture these elements as possible criteria. Not
and the criteria don't have to all be met.
That's right.
Project. Yeah, right.
Thanks.
This is Ken Bauer. I might just interject a note here. It might make sense to put everything on the map, everything that is substantive enough that it uses community resource volunteers and is, you know, sort of not a week-long minor exercise. You know, and the reason is that if this project or this prioritization idea goes forward, and then you want to add another new project and place it on the map, do you want to have a whole group that are not even represented because they've been grandfathered, so to speak? And it just seems to me that as you go forward and looking at new things to be added, not having the whole workload mapped might create some problems in terms of deciding whether we can take on the next one.
Well, that's an interesting point, Ken. And you know, this may be where we identify some of the projects on the map, on the matrix, a little bit differently. Maybe we put them in bold, or we circle them, or something, if they're projects that we have identified as those that should proceed, regardless of where they fit.
Yeah, I like that a whole lot better, and I was thinking almost exactly the same way. They would be asterisks, or they would be in red, or in some other way coded, so that you knew that these were sort of grandfathered or pre-approved, or for whatever reason they were continuing without being prioritized out of the list.
Now, the one difficulty with that, and I'm curious what you're thinking is how do we, I mean, we don't really need to prioritize those kind of tasks. I mean, we can, but it makes the exercise more complicated. How could we show those so that the total work picture is visible and obvious without having to complicate the prioritization exercises by including those?
And let me take a shot at that. I think I understand. The picture, the map, the graph, the chart, however we want to call it, is really not the prioritization. It is just the map. So you could have something, for example, if we stayed with this two-dimensional value versus cost idea, you could have something in the bottom, what I called quadrant four, meaning it has high cost and low value, but it could be prioritized high. Now, you might ask, like, why or how would we do it? But that would bring in these criteria you're talking about. It was directed by the board, or it has some other facet to it. And so once you have the map, all that tells you is, relative to value and cost, where these various projects or groups, where they land. The next thing that has to be done from the chart is to actually create the prioritization. And if you follow along with the logic that says, the ones we prioritize the highest are the ones that have high value and low cost, well, then, you know, those would obviously get moved up onto a priority list. But that seems to me that's a second step.
That makes sense.
Ken, mm-hmm. Are you saying that we didn't have this category that we were talking about?
I think you do, but I wouldn't take any project out of the mapping.
Okay.
I would put everything in the list for several reasons. Not only is it useful, I think, to have in one picture every substantive project, right? We wouldn't want to have to consult two pictures in order to see what the total workload is.
So are then you suggesting that we prioritize everything?
Yes.
Well, that was my point at the beginning.
It was. You're right.
Yeah. Which somehow makes sense, but it could be complicated. I mean, all the two-axis graph could be difficult to read, but then we may define some areas and see what fits in there, in which quadrant, for example, like the graph that Liz and Kim prepared, and then we prioritize them. It's somehow, I think we're talking about the same, but how to write it in a graphic interface.
You know, it's Liz.
Yep.
It strikes me that we have two separate tasks, in a sense, that we're trying to accomplish, actually, one being a prioritization task and the other being managing an overall inventory of work, understanding the aggregate cost of. So once we take on, if we identify n number of projects as being in category one, the must do, then in a different construct, there would only be a limited number of other things we could do, and we would be managing the work based on some calculus of the remaining headroom that's left in the community and staff after those category one things are taken off the table. And so the prioritization exercise would be the process of determining how you would do which of the remaining things you would do. But in a separate optimal construct, we'd also have a way of saying, and this is how much time, energy, resources required for each incremental project, which I think we will actually get to through a second exercise that we're beginning to look at in terms of, it's bottom-up versus top-down, how much resource overall, how much capacity can the GNSO handle? Because that's where it seems to me the benefit of retaining the top list of projects that we're continuing to work on is important, is assessing what the balance is of work capacity that the council and the working groups and staff can handle. That might be phase two of implementing a prioritization process, the first step being accomplishing a way to look at the incremental time that's remaining, and phase two being able to quantify more what the aggregate time available is. Does that make sense at all?
Well, it's worth speaking.
So which would be our first, for this second phase that you're mentioning, which is the first one?
The first one would be going using this prioritization process or one like it that we're putting into place now to assess of the things that aren't on the primary list, the category one list, what the prioritization for those are, just as we've been talking about. But with the ability, perhaps, or the idea, perhaps, in the future, where we might begin to assess what the overall capacity of the community is and looking at projects also that way, and the ability to take on new projects. I don't mean to complicate things. I just thought you guys were trying to separate it so that we didn't get bogged down by the fact that there are going to be a significant amount of work that falls into that must-do category and how to visualize that on the chart. That's all I was trying to do.
So what's our, so maybe we need to ask the question, okay, if we go the approach we're going, and I may be backing up a little bit, Olga, forgive me if that's a problem, but maybe what we need to, one of our first tasks, we don't need to do it on this call, is to identify all the projects, regardless of where they're going to be prioritized. So we need a full list of projects. Now, the action item list probably does that for us. We'll have to check, make sure it's complete.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I counted there was 20. There's 21 rows, including who is, in that matrix or table.
Yeah. So we have our list of projects, right?
And perhaps we could, with this list of projects, we could first check if it's totally complete. And then, I interrupted you. Sorry, Chuck. You were going
Keep going. You're on a good track.
I was saying that perhaps we can add some columns, like two or three maybe, adding this, which is something that you already did, Chuck, in your first matrix. Add some values in a predetermined scale for cost or difficulty or relevance or whatever. We may have two, we may have three, it depends. And then we have our first picture.
Yeah, and it's not so much, I don't think, for us to come up with the picture as a small group as whether we're coming up with the methodology that the council will apply. But it will really help in terms of facilitating consistency of ratings, and you can only succeed to a degree there, but if we provide some guidelines in terms of how to rate on either axis, you know, what are factors that will be considered with regard to level of difficulty and cost? What are factors with regard to value and benefit? And I did start that a little bit in one of my messages that I sent.
I have a comment about cost. I think I already sent it in the list. What if a project is costly but it's important? Would a high cost mean that we could lower its rating in one of the two axes, or we just think it's relevant and we still keep it up?
I think you're, if I'm understanding you correctly, I think you're onto something very important, and that is a high cost doesn't necessarily mean we won't put it as a high priority.
Exactly, and so having an axis with cost, which is fine, I mean, I'm not saying we don't consider that, could perhaps if the cost is high, could diminish the relevance and how the cost issue is difficult for me to imagine in this exercise of putting priorities, because if something has a high priority, well, sometimes it's costly, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And you do it.
In fact, to use Ken's and Liz's matrix, it's quite possible that we would have items in quadrant two that would be prioritized higher than those in quadrant one, although quadrant one are naturals, like Ken pointed out. The new GTLD PDP is a big example of that.
In a sense, you would want to rate or weigh difficulty lower in an overall importance than value.
I think it depends on the exercise.
Right.
Yes, Kent. You know, at the risk of just turning it back, I'm going to follow your approach there, Chuck, and just ratchet the notch back one level. We don't have to, the council doesn't have to go into a two-dimensional rating. That system of evaluating cost and difficulty against value benefit is designed to make the prioritization easier, assuming that value and cost are the most important dimensions in a prioritization scheme, which we took a guess at. There's another simpler way to do this, and that is simply to prioritize them. Just take 20 projects that are listed in the matrix and rank them from 1 to 20 in terms of how important they are to the council. That's it. This one dimension. It's just one table, and each one gets the prioritization. So the question becomes is there a way to simply create the priority in some consensus or ranking methodology without having to go to two dimensions and three dimensions of cost and time and difficulty and value and benefit?
Well, if it's a one-dimension list, that number about prioritization could come with a previous analysis of cost, value, benefit, difficulty, and all blah, 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 that brings us to a certain number that puts the project in a certain place in the list.
Now, Ken, though, I thought I heard you say earlier, and I kind of liked it, that this two-dimensional exercise actually is helpful in doing the one-dimensional exercise.
That's right, I did. But if you could simplify it, right, if you could just create a prioritization list without having to go through this preliminary ranking process on two dimensions, that would be simpler to do.
Oh,
now, if you need the one is a tool for the other. That's all I was trying to say. And for example, let's say you have five people on the call, and we decided to have a discussion. Out of the 20 lists that's in Glenn's matrix, what's the number one GNSO priority? You know, would we have some agreement on that right off the bat without having hardly any discussion about costs, value, benefits, or anything else? And if the answer is yes, we could pick the top. Maybe even if you didn't say, I need to rank them 1 to 20, I need to rank them in three or four groups, meaning these are must-do, these are next must-do, these are... You know, that process could produce a prioritization that might put one project in number 20 slot or at the bottom and others at the top.
Yeah, that's easier than just 1 through 20.
Well, yeah, and so...
et cetera, yeah.
Right, because what I was hearing in the discussion and the reason I stepped back to ask that question is, if people find rating cost and difficulty and value benefit, even if they find that relatively straightforward to do, what you don't want to end up with is having something in quadrant four, which is high cost, low value, but it gets a number one priority.
Yeah.
Because now your tool isn't informing your decision making.
Exactly.
Your decision making's already there. Your tool is just wasted time.
Yeah.
Well, it's Will speaking, so... I think, well, where the two-dimensional approach is valuable for is, well, it shows you the consequences of that, what you are going to decide upon with regards to prioritization. So if for me it's only a tool, you know, to see, okay, to look at in case if the council has to go to decide upon what to do in future, which is the next, the first, the second one we have to do, then it shows you some of the consequences with regards to parameters which the council has to decide upon at first. You know, is value benefit and difficulty cost, are those the parameters? So I would say yes. So and it's something which shows you really one of the hard parameters related to the project, and that's it. It gives you a basis for the decision. It's not the decision itself. You know, whatever it could be placed in any part of the quadrant. It shows you some consequences. If you do even if you do something, if you are of the opinion to do something which is in quadrant 4, it shows you what does it mean, and you can, before you decide to do that, go into more details and just discuss what does it mean really, difficulty and cost in this case. If you are of the opinion it could be of high priority, then you have to discuss it more in detail.
I agree with Wolf that two dimension brings more visual value to as a tool, and what we can do also is to follow with in time how the project evolves. It could be desirable perhaps that it starts in one quadrant, and if it's well done and the prioritization was good, that it goes to other quadrant, which should be the one for finishing or put it in a certain category that is not so high. We may follow how they evolve in the graph. But the one dimension is also simple. One question. Do we want to have this call for 1 hour?
I have to get off at the end of an hour, so you. But I don't have any problem if you continue without me.
I think that for me could be good also 1 hour, and perhaps we have in this last 50 minutes, we can decide which our next steps are, or play around one list, or play around with two-dimension chart, or with all the projects together, or with categories. Maybe we can discuss this step now.
Well, it seems to me that we've got, okay, we need a list of all the projects, and I think we could combine that with coming up with an abbreviated identifier along the line. I like the three capital letters, or at most four, so that we can, and then turn them into meaningful letters. You know, I showed some examples in one of my posts, you know. IRTA, IRTB, the IRTC that'll come in the future. The PED is one for the PEDNR. You got FF for fast flux, just so that people don't have to look back at a legend. And since we only have probably less than 25, that shouldn't be too hard to do. And then they become meaningful, and you can look at the four quadrants and know what each one is without, you know, referring back to another legend.
And so the first projects are there.
So the first exercise is to create the list of projects,
yeah,
and their abbreviation, their identifier. And then isn't the second step, again, this is something we'd put in front of the council. We wouldn't need to do the exercise. We could do the exercise if we wanted to test it out, but I don't know that that's necessary. The next step then would be to use the two axes approach, the four quadrants, as a tool to go to a third step, which is to actually come up with the prioritizations. And Ken, I liked your second approach rather than just listing them 1 through 22 or whatever, the must-dos, the whatever we want to call them. You had good terms for them, I thought. Dividing it into four or five groups makes that exercise a little more meaningful. And then I think you still have to go back then and make your decisions as to where we're going to end up with our priorities.
Yeah, Chuck, well, Wolf speaking. So, but we have to have consensus about the parameters against which we are going to list it or to prioritize it. I found it very useful to have good parameters here which are listed, the difficulty, cost, value, benefit. So maybe difficulty, we have to more detail that. What does it mean? But in principle, so I would go along that way.
I totally agree, and that's what I was getting at, and I think the post that was ultimately sent out on Friday, I actually wrote it on my trip from Frankfurt to San Francisco. But, you know, we need to provide some guidelines for what difficulty slash cost means. And we need to provide some guidelines with regard to value and benefit. I think for value and benefit, I put, well, you know, how much of the community does it benefit? There's a variety of things. Does it just benefit one stakeholder, interest group, or some things like that that we can come up with? I suggested a few ideas in my message, but I absolutely, Wolf, agree with you that we need to provide some guidelines for those two axes metrics, so that it guides people in their thinking.
This is Ken. Did you see the X and Y definitions that we proposed?
I did.
Okay.
You did a very good job. Yeah. I commented on those as I went down on my post, as I recall.
Okay. Yes. I see. Okay.
That's the kind of thing we're talking about right now, and Liz and Ken did a good job on that. Mm-hmm. And we should try and expand on that so we give as much guidance as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that our next step would be to define or just polish our list of projects and be sure that we're including all of them, and try to place them in the four quadrant graph that I think it looks very good. With this two dimensions, difficulty cost and value benefit, could we try to exercise this for in between us? Could it be feasible, or do you think it's too complicated?
If it's too complicated for us, the whole council is not going to be able to do it.
Right. This
the
is
question
Ken.
Is whether we want to go through that exercise ourselves or not. Yeah.
Perhaps we could present one outcome as a group, I mean, as a working team, and see what the reaction. Of course, having worked on it, having reviewed among ourselves, but it's only an idea without thinking too much, just out of my mouth.
But before we do that, we should come to a reasonable agreement on the definitions of the XY dimensions.
Yes, of course. Yes, first that. Yes, I agree.
Mrs. Ken, how would you propose doing that?
Well, you've made a start. I added some comments. Maybe other people can add some things. Maybe, Ken, could you kind of pull together? You've already got your draft definitions. You started there. I think I added some comments.
Yes.
And if you could distribute that to the people working on this, including those that aren't on the call, and we can all add to it, that would be a way.
Excellent.
Yes, I just found it, Chuck, so I also would like to add some comments on it and distribute it to you.
Yes.
And Ken could then collect all the comments. Yeah.
Yes, I'd be happy to coalesce all of the suggestions to the definitions for the two axes, sure.
Okay.
So do we want to just have everybody just provide comments? That's fine. I provided some already, and Ken has provided some here. If everybody else could. Now, we need to ask Adrian and Stefan and Rosemary to do it as well.
I think, yes, we should. I did comment. Maybe Wolf can comment, and Adrian and Stefan. And with that information, perhaps Ken and Liz can draft something.
Now, it'd probably be good to call to the attention, especially those not on the call, what's been done already in this regard, and ask them to add to it. I think we all understand what we're asking. It's not going to be probably as quickly obvious to them.
Liz, can you help me sending this email to the list? Maybe today?
Yeah. Sure.
And then once we have all the comments sent to the list, perhaps we can, Jen can work on that input and produce some outcomes. Okay?
So before we close, could we agree on the tasks that need to be done before our next call? And I do think it would be helpful to have another call like this and try and get one where hopefully everybody can participate. Early next week.
This is Ken. I was going to try to make that summary. What I heard so far is we want to first nail down the list of projects, as we're using the term. So that would be all the things that need to get ranked and put on the chart. So that's step one. Step two is to nail down the axes definition. So it sounds like we've agreed on essentially a two-axis chart style for trying to get the 20, whatever that number of projects is, scoped out and placed on this diagram. And then step three, which we didn't talk too much about, but Olga suggested, do you guys want to take a shot at using the methodology that we've developed associated with this as a way to try to actually plot real projects on a real graph using your temporary data points?
Yes, that's the forward.
So what that I'll tell you what I think that would do for you. Number one, I think it does help then to sort of prove out the methodology. You've been through it, and having done it, you can recommend it to others to do. That's one. Number two is we will actually end up with a chart with real projects on a real dimension. And I think a fair question for this group would be, okay, now that we have that, even though it's not formal and it's not approved and it's not official, what would we do with that? And if a council member said, oh, okay, team, now that you've got these things all up there, what are you going to do with all this data? I think that's a fair question. And that was we put that at the end of our email is, it's really the most important question. Like, what will I do with these results now that I have them?
And we as a small group are going to have to answer that question before we send this to the council.
I agree.
As well as a couple of the other question, and I think I added one to the list as well.
Yep.
All right, so what I can do, what Liz and I can do, is we can get the list of projects, help with the definitions, and coalesce your ideas around those. And even if we don't have them perfect, we can start with a methodology, send it to all of you on the team, ask you to complete it, build the results into a real matrix, don't publish it, and then ask ourselves the question, do we like what we've done? Did it work out okay? And what would we recommend to the council having now gone through that exercise?
Yeah,
I agree. It's a very good exercise. And so we will prove if it's doable, usable, and we think the outcome is good.
Now, it sounds like we should have somebody do a doodle for, I don't know, next week. I would think earlier in the week is better, but it depends on people's availability. So.
Yeah, and I know we this time wasn't convenient for everyone.
We have Pacific Coast, U.S., East Coast, U.S., we have
Australia,
we have Europe. See, we pretty much have the whole spectrum, huh?
Right.
I will be in Europe, so my time is different next week.
Okay.
But I can answer the doodle and find a good time. That's okay. It's not Latin America.
So who has the task on the doodle?
Glenn. Glenn, is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
Is she still on the call?
I'll make sure she gets with us.
Okay.
Good.
Great. So, Liz and Ken, are you going to send this first draft to move forward? And Glenn will send the doodle. So we have things to do, to comment and to give some input to your emails. once we receive them, and hopefully we will get some more comments from all the our working team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Ken. I will take a shot at summarizing what we've just discussed, laying out the plan, and soliciting the team's feedback on all of the dimensions or elements of it.
Okay. Great.
Comments?
I think we're going in a good direction.
Great.
Great. Thank you very much. I think it was a very good call. Thank you. So we keep in touch through the list, and we will talk next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Olga.
Yeah, bye-bye.